Our next two guests were the featured performers for the Huron Community Concert Series on the night of December 20th. They are both seasoned performers of on- and off-Broadway productions. Joe Mahold is a 1977 Huron High School graduate, and his lovely wife, Elizabeth Moses, is from Nashville. I want to welcome both of you to the show. Thanks, Joe, for being with us.
Oh, sure, you bet.
And Elizabeth.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Hey, it's right.
That's right.
Happy New Year.
I have heard so many good comments on the program, but beforehand, let's give our listeners a little bio on you, Joe. As we mentioned, Joe is a native of Huron and from the Huron High School class of 1977. Joe went on to the College Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati and graduated magna cum laude. His portfolio of performances is too lengthy to ever read at one setting, but of note is his performance as Danilio in The Merry Widow with Judy Kaye at the Paper Mill Playhouse in Millbourne, New Jersey. Joe co-starred as Lancelot in Camelot with Stacy Keach at the Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera. Wow, Joe, how was it working with Stacy Keach?
Stacy Keach is a very classy man. I think the world of him. I think he's a very, very talented performer. He has a lovely family, and they're just they're great people, really, and they're stars for a reason, you know.
Stacy got in a little problem when he was in England. Did you work with him after mm-hmm. his episode in England? Mm-hmm. Do you think that it changed his style any? Did you see a new Stacy after that?
I didn't know him before. You know, this was my only exposure to him. He was in, they just closed the Kentucky cycle on Broadway this last week sometime. And I had some other friends in there in the show as well. And they closed the night of a Christmas party at some friends of ours. And Stacy didn't come, but I don't know him. I didn't know him before, and so I don't know really how to answer that.
Must be a great guy to work with. I can just tell the way you're... What'd you think of him?
Well, I just got to meet him. I didn't get to spend much time. I know that Joe was going to go golfing with him, but that didn't work out.
And that thing on his lip is real?
It's real. It's
real. That's what we talk... We don't know.
It adds character. Hey, I'm not going to...
But let's tell our listeners more about you, Joe. Most recently, Joe Mahold was seen off-Broadway as the Aviator in Sayonara, a new musical based on the James Michener novel. He is a founding member of the Artistic Company of Tennessee Repertory Theater in Nashville, Tennessee, and was their leading man over the course of four seasons. While he was there, he won First Night Award for Best Actor in a New Musical, Christmas Memories. And Joe, we are so happy to have you and your lovely wife sitting with us at the table today at the Crossroads. Elizabeth, I know you've opened for Phyllis Diller. Please tell us how you started in show business.
To be perfectly honest, I was in junior high school, and my choir teacher looked at me when she was calling out the role, and she said, "Elizabeth Moses. Oh, now that's a nice professional name. You should go on the stage." Trying to make me feel good. And I was like, thank you. But I think a little bell went off, and they had auditions for the Mikado. And how old are you in junior high school? You're like 12?
Three or four.
Yeah, I was. I was really young for my age. Anyway, I went out, and I had to stand up on stage by myself and sing the role, of course, of Yum Yum, the star. I'm not going to audition for any, little role. So I auditioned, and by golly, I got the role. And my mother, it's the best. My mother said she had never heard me sing because, of course, I'd sing around the house and dance and all this stuff, but never in front of her. Never in front of mom, dad, nobody. You just didn't do that. And so she didn't know what she was going to see when she came to the school that night. And she said, "Why, you can't sing. That's pretty good. That's pretty good." And I don't know. They always say you get the bug, and I guess that's what happened. And then I just followed on with that junior high school, anything that came up. High school, anything that came up. I went to college for a while, and I studied music, more music than theater. But then I just, any show that came up, I just had to audition for it. You had to be a part of it. And, you know, all the way from working on the as a crew, you know, working the tech, sewing sequins on gowns, or just anything to be around it. And it just kind of gets in your blood, and that's pretty much how it got started. And then a friend of mine told me that I should audition for well, it was an audition for, the National Dinner Theater Association. They have these auditions, and theaters from all over the country come. And so I pulled something together and just didn't know what I was doing once again. And dadgummit, I got hired for about 8 places, and it was just, and it just kind of snowballed like that. I think Joe had mentioned earlier when we were talking that it's just a lot of the things that happen, you know, they just sort of, the doors just sort of open.
Were you a Southern Belle?
A Southern Belle. No, I don't think I was. You know, one of those things where they had the coming out parties and all that. No, not at all. I wasn't a cheerleader. Nothing wrong with that, but I wasn't a cheerleader.
The motorcycle group?
Yeah, I hung out with them. No, actually, I was just kind of middle-of-the-road type kid,
goody
you know.
Two-shoes.
I was not a goody two-shoes.
I found out, folks, I got to tell my listeners, you two are the most interesting people. I wish I had wired all of us up for a microphone, but if I would have, no one would understand this conversation because the two of you add words to each other. It takes two of you to finish a sentence. I have noticed that. It's wonderful. Let's get back to the concert because there are just great things in both of your lives I'd like to visit with, and we never have enough time for it. On December 20th, I want to say, Joe and Elizabeth, you really wowed the Huron Theater audience, and I want to say right now that it isn't always that you pack that high school auditorium. I mean, that's a nice place. They have the cushion chairs, but if you added one more seat, they have 1,000 seats, and you pack the place, and I have comments from the people that were there. So these are not my comments. One man that I interviewed, I said, how did you like the show? And Joe, he said, he wants to compare you to a young Robert Goulet. What do you think about that, huh?
Well, I have actually been compared to him before. I've worked with him a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah.
See, we were just asking about these names, and you forgot about Robert Goulet.
Well, there you have it. I just remembered him. No, last summer we did, for the 4th of July, they did a thing at Sardi's. They recorded a radio program at Sardi's called a Broadway Picnic,
which is a very famous place, Sardi's. Right. You want to give just a brief background of it? Maybe the people weren't wowed. I was wowed when you said it.
Sardi's is a restaurant where after the opening nights, people would go, all of the theater people, the writers, the composers, the producers, and the leading actors would go and have fellowship and drinks and stuff after the show. And they would wait for the early morning review, the early morning edition of the paper to come out so they could read the reviews. And it would either turn into an all-night party or everyone would quietly go home, you know. But anyway, at this evening, it was last summer in July 4th, or I think it was released on July 4th, the National Public Radio did a production of Broadway Picnic, and Robert Goulet was on the program, and so was I.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was really fun. Judy Kay and several other people.
When you're around these people, do they have an influence on you, like the next day you start seeing yourself doing something a little differently?
Well, you know, like I said about Stacy, you know, they're stars for a reason. They're not like regular people, not like regular ordinary people that you meet along the street. They're special in a way that you can't really put your finger on. They've got a certain X factor, you know, that you can't name. There's something about their personality that is soothing or exciting or something that you just can't really put a finger on.
Being a hometown boy, Joe, how did the crowd warm up to you after the very first number, which I understand was a real pleaser? There's no business like show business. How did they receive you and your wife?
Oh, you know, I wasn't prepared, I guess, for the amount of applause that they had. I mean, it was just because we had kind of created this program that was sort of seamless, you know. And it went from one number to the next, to the next, to the next. And then after this number, you know, we had it staged so that we'd take a quick bow and then she'd go off stage, right? Well, and then I'd start the next number. Well, they kept on applauding and applauding and applauding. I thought, this is going to last 2 hours if we let this go on.
We weren't going to stop it, though, mind you.
You didn't mind the applause at all?
No. Once the hands start going, you don't stop them. No.
Elizabeth is also acting as our production director. She's taking care of the clock for me. I thank you very much. We're right on time, and this is a wonderful spot. Take a break. We're going to be back with our two really wonderful Broadway guests. They live in New York City. We'll find out more about them. We're going to talk about here in high school, too, where he went to school. We're going to be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Personalities with Chuck Anderson. We're back. This is Chuck Anderson. I have two special guests with us, Joe Mahold, and he performed here on the 20th of December to just a smashing crowd. And we were just talking about how you were worried that the program would last longer because the applause was so great to start with. His lovely wife, Elizabeth Moses Mahold. And you dropped the Mahold, I suspect, when you're doing theater?
Oh, just strictly professional. I have taken the name Mahold, but whenever I do anything with theater, I keep Moses, you know.
Now, during the program, I understand at the intermission, a person told me that the applause was one of respect and admiration. And I love that.
That's so nice.
I wrote it down as a quote. Now, you may want to go back to New York City and say one person said that during intermission, they just thought the applause that you got was one of respect and admiration. She's got tears in her eye, Joe. Then during the second half, the people didn't get there, although I think everybody in Huron was there that night. You did a lot of Christmas music, and people wanted to bring you back for many encores. I know that you did have a standing ovation.
Yeah.
They brought you back, and you sort of got out of the multi-encore and possibly having to come back, and you had the people do a wonderful thing.
Well, you know, we kind of figured into the program that because I was a hometown boy, they might feel obligated to, you know, to bring us out for another song or something. I don't know.
We hoped,
yeah. So we kind of had a programmed encore, so to speak. The roses from my nephews and nieces weren't programmed, but right before the last number, here's this line of my nieces and nephews with roses and everything. It was very sweet. But then after that, we closed with a really, really sweet rendition of Silent Night. And it was really something else. It was really very very touching.
Tell us what year you graduated from Huron High School, Joe.
I graduated from Huron High School in 1977.
Tell us about the guys you hung around with. This is always fun. Listen to them.
They're great stories. Come on, Joe. You got to tell at least one.
I can.
They're listening, Joe. They're listening.
These are your fans, Joe.
Oh,
they want to hear.
Man, Bruce, John, Dave.
Do they have last names?
Yes, they do. Come on.
Bruce Felix and Russell Peets and John Wolman, Dave Searing, Dave Packard. All of us were kind of group. Oh, Mike Whitney Bruce, Mike, Russ, and I won the barbershop quartet contest in 1977 or 1976, I can't recall. But it was the state competition, and
now, I, not being that old, I wouldn't remember those years.
What year did you graduate from?
It was just a couple of years ago.
I think we got a glitch in the tape here.
It was 1947.
Right.
head.
Some of the people that you have known, for example, we've thrown these names out, and it's just fun to think back. You were a little younger than Cheryl Ladd, but this is another girl, Cheryl Stoppamore, during those years. Maybe you were a little too young to have hung around with her, but it's fun to think that they're from this particular area, this part of South Dakota. Stan Felix. Let's throw that name out. Stan Felix.
All right.
Stan Felix. Let's
tell
throw
us about
that name
Stan
out.
Felix. Another Huron High School product.
Yes.
Not Nashville, Tennessee.
No.
But
from Huron and now living in New York City with his wife, Antonia.
Yeah. Stan.
What's he do?
Stan and Antonia are both opera singers, and they work out of New York City. Actually, they're beginning a new venture, and I would like to give them a quick plug if I could. They've come up with a great idea.
We'll have to figure out the cost this later.
It'll be okay. But they've come up with the idea of a doll. And I can't really tell you over the radio waves what it exactly is, because they're waiting on some patent things and copyrights and things. But they've come up with the idea of marketing this doll, and it's a great idea. And I think it's going to go like gangbusters. It'll be a national thing. Yeah, I think it's a wonderful thing. But anyway, Stan was a couple of years older than I am. Bruce was his younger brother, and
he was in the class
somehow with me. Right.
In Australia.
Yeah, Bruce lives in Perth, Western Australia.
Hey.
Yeah.
We were talking about Dana Brown, and I haven't seen him for a long time. Have you seen him lately?
I think the last time we saw him was a few years ago. He was going to play for the concert that was snowed out four years ago, whatever that was. And it was here in high school. It was going to be an evening about the Hollywood musicals, and we had rehearsed the whole thing, and it started to snow that day, and it got down to about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and Jim Solon, he said, you know, we got to make this call now. And so we kind of came to the consensus that it was going to be too much snow, because we got 16 inches of snow that night, I think.
See, this is a good point. I want to make sure that our listeners, especially the theater goers that went to see you and appreciated you very much on December 20th, you actually gave up kind of a neat gig. And I want to just say, I kind of stealing this from Monica Steele. Monica told me about it a little bit ago, and I talked to you on the phone. I confirmed it. Tell us what happened, because it's really interesting. You had another gig, except it was, what, the next day?
Yeah, well, what happened was I had an audition a few days before we came here to Huron, and it was for As the World Turns, and I was going to be some guard or something on one of the...
It was a possibility of a reoccurring role. We didn't know. It was at least going to be for 2 days.
Possibly maybe being the star? Probably.
Always.
Well, yeah, always. Yeah. Just being me.
But you gave up that gig. You gave up that gig to come out here.
Yeah, yeah. And what happened was it was going to take place on the Tuesday and Wednesday, the 21st and 22nd, following the concert on the 20th. And what happened was... The job was going to take place at 1:45 on Tuesday, which meant that we would finish the concert on Monday night, and then at 3 o'clock Tuesday morning, I would have to have gotten my bags packed and gotten in the car to get to Sioux Falls to catch a plane, which would have gotten me into New York around 11 something, and then to tape it starting at 1:45 on Tuesday, and then all day Wednesday, and it just didn't, it wasn't in the cards.
We're glad very much the two of you came and entertained our people.
Oh, thank you. We wouldn't have missed it for the world.
We mentioned a name again. It's fun getting the people in your age bracket, because I know a lot of the names, but sometimes you don't find anybody that knows them or knows what happened. Next month, you'll be seeing this girl, and I was wondering what's happened to Carol Lordnice.
Carolyn Lardinoy is, the last I've heard, she's out in California.
Sounds like a gossip show, doesn't it?
No, she's keeping in contact with my mom, I'm actually going to be looking her up when I get out to do Sayonara in January.
Carol used to do some serious writing.
Yeah, right. Carolyn is a writer. I think she's teaching now. That's his secondhand, so I don't know how reliable it is.
Next time we get together, you can fill me in on all this stuff. I'm going to ask you how you guys met.
Oh, gosh. Now, how long is this program? Okay.
I
have a tendency to talk a lot, okay, but I'll try and give you the Cliff Note version here. No, Joe and I met doing a show, actually, up in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin.
The Fire Saeed
Restaurant and Playhouse.
They're doing it again. They're both starting to talk.
Fire Saeed Restaurant.
And, okay, now that you've asked me, I can't remember how to... Well, anyway, basically, we were doing a show, and he came... he was cast as Lancelot in Camelot. And I was just going to be one of the ladies in waiting. I was understudying Guinevere. And it was just an unusual...
It was her first job. After we mentioned in the last segment about the NDTAs, the National Dinner Theater Association auditions, this was the... Of all those eight offers that she got, this was the one that she chose. And she uprooted herself from Nashville, Tennessee.
With help from my mom and dad and my brother, because I was going to have to go up to Wisconsin to do a callback, and I couldn't afford it. There was just no way. And I started crying and everything. And mom and dad and my brother, they said, they brought me in the room and they said, how about if we advance you the money to fly up to Wisconsin, and then you can pay us back out of your first paycheck. And so I took it. And the role of Lancelot, the actor had to have emergency surgery or something, and the girl that was playing Guinevere was doing a show with Joe and said...
The Black Hills Playhouse.
And so she told the director and said, oh, I've got this perfect guy that would be Lancelot. He would just be great. And so, anyway, to make a long story longer. he came out.
I told you.
No. But the best part was actually, well, no, Joe and I just kind of became friends, because you're stuck in an actor's house, you know, with all these actors and different backgrounds and everything. And Joe and I just got together. became best friends.
I know that we're out of time. There are a couple of things I've got to ask really quick, because they are interesting. When you live in New York City, and I know we're just about out of time, but if you could give some answers, I'd appreciate it. When you live in New York City, reality takes place. We had visited about this before the show started. You almost took the Long Island Railroad train.
Right. I was...
You weren't going to be on the one where the people were all slaughtered.
No.
You do ride the same...
The train. No, Joe and I ride the Long Island Railroad every day, as a matter of fact, and in the afternoons coming home from work. And we're on a different line, but a working companion of mine was indeed, he does travel on that line that where the shootings occurred. And he had taken the 517, and he said normally he takes the 533, and that was the infamous... trip. And he's always sat in that car and always got off at that stop, and for some reason, you know, the angels were with him. But it's frightening. It really
and
is frightening.
A real shock did develop over the people that use this train.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about the idiot theory.
The idiot theory. Well, this friend of mine and I, we were walking home to the train station. And he said, you know, I got this theory about life. And I said, oh, yeah, well, tell me about it, Richard. And he said, well, it's the idiot theory. When you're focused, when you got a great, you know, when you're in the groove, you got a great thing going, idiots weaving your way And he said, that's the idiot theory. You know? No, it's just terrible.
But you were also humbled by a man who had another theory who says, you think you're unique, huh?
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Well,
it shows you how big New York City really is.
It does. He said, you think you're unique? I said, yeah, well, yeah, you know, I guess I think I do, you know. He said, do you think you're one in a million? And I thought, a minute, I said, well, gosh, okay, yeah, I'll bite. Yeah, I think I'm one in a million, you know. He said, there are eight of you in New York.
Our time, like every show, when I have the people that I truly enjoy, it's eaten away and it's gone. And I've got to rush out of here to make room for the ABC News that'll be coming in at 11 o'clock. I want to thank my very special guest for being with us and for sharing their time with the Huron people and doing the gig here in Huron instead of the being on that soap opera thing.
National
soap opera. Joe Mahol, thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Elizabeth Moses, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Names you will surely be hearing a lot more about in the years to come on Broadway and I'm sure other areas of the fine arts. Huron could be very proud of Joe and Elizabeth Moses Mahold. We want to thank our listeners for being with us and letting us be part of your day. From Huron, this is Chuck Anderson saying, have a safe and successful new year.